Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to this series, The River is Here. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
I want you to turn to Ezekiel 47 and let's read about the river. Ezekiel 47, from first verse. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. Water in which one must swim. That's the New King James Version translation. Say it with me. Water in which one must swim. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Now verse 12. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. God's restoring to the church right in these days the recognition of the river that the Word of God speaks about. It is very interesting to recognize that when you read back in the Garden of Eden, that God had a river right there for watering of the Garden of Eden. And when you go to the last book in the Bible and read about Revelation, you'll discover that in the midst of the city, the New Jerusalem, there is a river. And the same picture is painted in Revelation 21 concerning that river as Ezekiel paints here. the life that results from the river, the trees that are on the banks of the river that bear fruit every month of the year. There is constant and continual fruitfulness because of the supernatural supply of water that comes from the river. And Ezekiel sees it clearly that the supernatural nature of the water is determined because it flows from the throne of God. This is the outflow of the life of God. And so as it flows out of God, wherever it goes, it brings the same kind of life. It brings healing from whatever ailment, whatever weakness, whatever imperfection there is a healing that flows because the waters come from the presence of God. Now, as we look at the Church of Jesus Christ around, it's obvious that we're in desperate need of the river of life to flow from the throne of God again into the church. Some of us have begun to dabble. I want to say this to you. You have progressed in the anointing. But may I suggest to you that most of us are still up to our ankles in the water? See, let me tell you what happens when you get out into the middle of the river. It is water that God said, you must swim in. 4 weeks ago now, we were in Clovis. We were there for 2 weeks. We've just had 2 weeks at home in between. And a brother came from New York to be there for the revival. He relates to one of the churches that we were with there. We were with three churches, Trinity Church, the House of Prayer, and Calvary Baptist Church combined for a meeting. And this brother had come from New York City. He is born in Ghana, raised in Nigeria, was called as a young man, a teenager, by the Lord to America to be a missionary to America. fellow African, called to be a missionary to America. He is now 24 years of age. He lives in New York City and has got a powerful anointing on him. And he came in because he had heard of what was coming, and so he wanted to, the Lord told him that he was to be there for the meeting. On the second night, for the first 2 days, he was just an observer. But on the second night, the Lord told me to call him forward and release an anointing on him. And as he was on the floor, the Lord gave him a vision of the river. And he saw the river of Ezekiel 47. And he was wading in the river. And God kept saying to him, you must swim. You must swim in this river. And with that, God was showing him things to do that were outside of his comfort zone. And he said, Lord, if I did that, I would make a spectacle of myself. I would embarrass myself. If I did what you're telling me to do, I'd just be embarrassed. And the Lord said, you must swim. And then God showed him this, people, and this is so powerful. This has been in my spirit ever since. God showed him that no matter how deep you go, as long as you are wading, you are resisting. No matter how deep you go in the river, as long as your feet are touching the earth, touching the ground, you are resisting. No matter how deep you go, as long as you are waiting, you are resisting. No matter how deep you go, as long as you are waiting, you are resisting. Boy, I tell you, that's getting so deep in my spirit, people. Now, let me tell you what happened. The next night, I invited Philip. That was the man's name. I invited him to share what the Lord had done. And, you know, it was one of those hilarious testimonies where he gets up and he can't speak, you know. And it was so funny. In the second week, one night, I got him to give his testimony. He gave the whole testimony in tongues. Thought he was speaking in English. You know, and he'd be gesticulating and carrying on as though he was speaking English, but it was all in tongues. I mean, God did such a powerful move in him. And the next night, I got him to give that testimony before I preached. And then he just, you know, in the middle of the testimony, just fell out on the floor, couldn't say any more, and stayed on the under the anointing on the floor. When it came to the ministry time, there was a couple who were sitting on the front row, part of the praise and worship team, and the Lord prompted me to call them up and release anointing on them. And they were lying on the carpet, and over on this side was this young man, Philip. And one of the things the Lord had told him the night before to do was get up and run around the church. And he said, "Lord, that'll be embarrassing if I did that." And that second night, which would have been, I believe, the Wednesday night, he finally obeyed the Spirit of the Lord. And he took off running around the church, and he touched ground only every now and then. I mean, he was under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as he ran past this couple who were lying on the floor, the brother who had just a month before been taken to the emergency room with asthma, he almost died with asthma. As Philip ran by him, every time he ran by, the wind of the Holy Ghost blew over that brother. And every time the wind blew over him, greater healing came to him, until by the end of the time when Philip fell out on the floor after he had run around the church, I don't know how many times, five times or so, just skimming around the church. By the time he had finished, that brother was totally healed, got up off the floor and could breathe freely. I'm telling you people, there is a supernatural dimension of the power of God and the glory of God that he's longing to unveil in the church, but we're too afraid of letting our feet get off the ground. We want to keep contact with something that is familiar, something that we think is sort of stable. We want to hang on to the tradition of the past. We want to hang on to what brother so-and-so and professor so-and-so has said, and what has been revealed in history. And God's saying, you've got to swim in this river. And as long as you're waiting, you're resisting. And it's so hard for many of us just to say, okay, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Because you see, the first few things that he's going to tell you to do are going to take you beyond your comfort zone. They're going to take you into an area where that you are totally unfamiliar with. And listen to this. It's going to hammer you at the point of pride. And that's why we resist. Because none of us want to lose our reputation and lose our integrity before people, the reputation that we've sought to build up and make fools of ourselves. But I'm telling you, it's getting to the time, people, when it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. If you're going to go with the flow of God, you're going to have to say, Lord, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, because I want to be part of what you are doing in the earth. I want to move in that power that you are displaying in all the earth today. I want to be so wrapped up and consumed in that river. And carried along. In the second week of the meeting, Philip was again, in fact, the night that he couldn't give his testimony, when he just spoke in tongues, when he was on the floor, was it that night? The Lord showed him himself in the river again, and he had an inflatable dinghy or rubber raft under his arm. It wasn't inflated. And around him were people all sitting in their individual dinghies, their rubber rafts. Why are you laughing at the word dinghy? Don't you know that word? Okay, it's a rubber raft. That's a okay. But all these people were in their rubber rafts, and people were saying to him, Philip, you must inflate your raft and get into it. And the Spirit was saying, ditch the rubber raft. You don't need it. And all the people were saying, Philip, you're going to drown. Inflate your raft and get into it. And he noticed this, that as long as he held onto the raft, the waters kept throwing him up on the bank, out of the flow of the river. And the Lord kept saying to him, just throw away the rubber raft and just flow in the river. I'm telling you, there is an ardent call from the Lord of glory going out in his church today. There is an ardent call from the Lord of the church, Jesus, who's saying to his people who have been so bound by fear, we're so afraid of the opinions of people, we're so afraid of losing control of our lives. We have spent all of our lives building this mechanism of control in our lives so that we won't be embarrassed or so that we won't be wounded by the rejection or the words of people. And the Lord's saying, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust the river. You're going to have to trust what I'm doing. You're going to have to trust my work and be willing to let go of those rubber dinghies that we, or rubber rafts that we all hang on to, thinking there's a security there. But I'm telling you, they're impeding your progress. They're holding you back. They're getting you cast out of the flow of the river. The Anointed One is here. The river is flowing. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I don't know how these verses fit together, but this is what the Lord told me to preach. So we'll just let the Holy Ghost fit it all together. Matthew 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Sounds like the river had arrived. Sounds like the river was flowing. Wherever the water went, there was healing. Sounds like the river has arrived. Sounds like the river has come from the throne room of God and is present in the earth. Sounds like the living water is flowing. Read on. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I've got to tell you what happened to me since I was here. Shortly after we were here, we went down to Florida on vacation to Key West. And one of the days that we were down there, Bev and the kids went to the beach, and the Holy Spirit just told me to stay home and read the Gospels and study the Gospels. Go through the Gospels and categorize the miracles of Jesus. And so I spent the day just categorizing all the miracles. And then when I was through with that, he spoke to me and he said, "For the next while, until I give you a release, I want you to just to read the Gospels. I want you to read the Gospels until the healing ministry of Jesus becomes such a part of you that you begin to flow in the same anointing that Jesus flowed in, until everywhere you go, healing just takes place naturally by the anointing that's flowing in your life." So I'm intensely interested in the healing ministry of Jesus. Just before you turn to 15, just look at... chapter 14, verse 34. "And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all that was sick." I like that. They heard Jesus there and they said, "Wow, let's go and find every sick person we can find and bring them to Jesus. The river is here. So why not let's get everybody in the whole region that's sick and bring them to the river, because wherever the waters flow, everything gets healed. Everything has life." And begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. They didn't even say, Jesus, touch us. They said, just let us touch you. There was such faith because of the miracles that were taking place. And it had been so grown in the people that they didn't have a doubt. They said, we might as well get every sick person in the whole area. And if they'll just touch Jesus, they'll get healed. They were so convinced of the power of the river. And the church needs to get there again. Instead, we're so full of doubt and unbelief, we think, oh, I wonder if anyone will get healed. These people knew that everybody would get healed. So they went and emptied the hospitals of the whole area and brought them to Jesus. And they just said, Jesus, just let them touch you. You don't even have to touch them because we know whoever touches you will get healed.
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes. Yes.
And as many as touched were made perfectly well. Chapter 15, verse 29. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up to the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. So the multitude marveled. Now this is a key verse for what's going to happen this week. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute. What? Speaking. The maimed made whole. The lame limping. Right? Walking. The blind got half their sight back. And they glorified the God of Israel. I don't know if that makes you happy. It makes me real happy. You know, we've sort of been happy with a half healing. Well, bless God, I'm not completely well, but I'm better than I was. Well, when Jesus had a situation like that, he said to the man, wait, let's pray again. It's not good enough for you to see men like trees walking. I want you whole. Now, this word is the word that the Spirit is burning on my spirit for this week. And let me just tell you where it comes from. I'm just going to tell you the story. You can find it in John 5, but I'm not going to turn there. You remember what happened? Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda. And as I was sitting up there, the Lord was just showing me the significance of this. The pool was a stagnant place of water. Okay, it's just a pool. But every now and then, this was the belief of the people. They believed that the waters would stir, and it was brought about by an angel coming and stirring the waters. And when the waters began to move at the stirring of the angels, the first person who got into that water would be healed. And there was a lame man lying at the side of the pool of Bethesda who had been there for many years, paralyzed, and he couldn't get into the water. He said there was nobody to help him, and when he tried to move toward the pool, there was always somebody who got in ahead of him, and so he wasn't healed. He's waiting at the pool, and the river arrives. What you want, the pool or the river? And so the river comes in, and the river says, do you want to be made whole? Now this man has got his eyes on the pool. Lord, I've got nobody to help me. And whenever I try to get in, somebody gets in ahead of me. He's full of bitterness. He's full of resentment. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Nobody wants to help me. And then all these people are getting in ahead of me. He has allowed a deep root of resentment against his non-helpers and against those who go ahead of him. And his life is full of bitterness and hopelessness. And Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he walks. Listen, the man is made whole. Now, Jesus came under tremendous criticism from the Pharisees because he had done that miracle on the Sabbath day. And so we read in chapter 7 where the Pharisees are criticizing Jesus for that miracle. Jesus starts defending his performing of the miracle. And in John chapter 7, he says this. He says, why are you judging me? Because, oh, get this. I made the whole man whole. the whole man whole. And Jesus uses two Greek words there. The one is holos, and the other is hugios. Holos is the word from which we get, you know, we get so many words that come out of the, like, the hologram and so on. Holos means entire, the complete. Hugios means without defect. It's the same word that is used of sound doctrine. Teach what befits sound doctrine without any defect. Or to put it in this picture that we read in Matthew chapter 15, it says the maimed were made whole. Same word, hugios. Well, what does it mean when a lame person, or the maimed, and that means some injury has happened to you, you had your leg cut off because you broke it and so on, your leg has been severed. It says the maimed, those who were injured, were made whole. That means they were restored to manufacturer's specifications. Listen, people, please hear this. And I'm speaking in a realm of faith now because I'm not yet walking here, but this is what I'm pressing toward. I am never going to be satisfied until I see the river flowing in such power in the Church of Jesus Christ that the whole person, each and individual person in the church, the whole person is made whole. In other words, whatever in you is broken, wounded, diseased, is restored to perfect wholeness. Jesus, the word is illustrated when Jesus found the man with the withered hand. Did I illustrate this when I was here the last time? Doesn't matter if I did. A lot of you didn't see it. The Bible speaks about the man with the withered hand that was, you know, all withered up. And Jesus says to the man, stretch out your hand. And the Bible says he stretched it out and it became whole as the other one. See, wholeness is not this. Wholeness is not this. See, we've got excited about this. Well, I can stick it out now. It used to be all withered up at my side. But bless God, I can stretch it out there. Wholeness is not this, where it's stretched out, but it still can't function. Wholeness is that it's exactly how it was intended to be. Now let me tell you what you were intended to be. The gospel, the good news is this. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, pray for me that God would open for me an effectual door of ministry that I may proclaim the mystery of the anointed one as I ought to proclaim. And he tells us in Colossians chapter 1 what that mystery is. It is Christ in you. The hope of glory, the anointed one in me, expressing his life in me. I'm telling you, child of God, please lay hold of this by faith. Even if your mind says, no, it's not possible. Even if all your religious tradition says, I couldn't hope for that. I want you to lay hold of that. The river is here in order to bring healing to the people. And that healing that God has in his heart is not half measure healing. It's not you just getting to the place where your arm is stretched out now instead of being all crumpled up, but not returned to total usefulness. God's purpose is that you made perfectly whole. Yes. I'm so tired of seeing brokenness in the Church of Jesus Christ, and we just accept it and go to church Sunday after Sunday, and we're still full of brokenness, we're still full of woundedness, and we're so still full of hurt. And the phrase that has grabbed my spirit today is this. It's in Matthew chapter 15. They brought them all to Jesus and laid them at his feet. Just laid them at his feet. Just laid them at his feet. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus lay them down. Bring them all, bring them all, Bring them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken lives. Bring them all. Bring them all. Bring them all to Jesus. He will turn your darkness into light. I'm telling you, people, the river is here. The river is here. And I'm just getting bold enough in faith to believe that God is here to make the whole man whole. That if the river that is flowing today is the same river that arrived in the earth when Jesus came into the world and began his ministry, then the same effects and the same results can be expected today. If this is the river of God that is flowing from his throne, then we can expect that the whole man is to be made whole. Now, the only question is this: why are we not being made whole? And I believe with all of my heart, and don't get mad at me for saying this, I believe with all of my heart that the enemy has sold a lie of doubt and unbelief and skepticism to the church because of our exaltation of human reason. And we've approached the Word of God from our perspective of 20th century reason. And we have made the Word of God of none effect through our religious theological tradition. And as a result, Jesus can do no mighty miracle in the midst of his people because we've got the same curse of unbelief that was on his hometown in Nazareth. We've become familiar with the miraculous. We've read the Bible from cover to cover. We've read about Jesus doing miracles when he walked this earth. And we say, that's wonderful. Praise God, he can heal. But that was then. This is now. And now we have doctors. And now we have medicine. And as a result of our giving in to the lies of the enemy, we aren't seeing the power of God as he wants it to flow. But I have an announcement to make. The river is here. Yes. But you've got to swim in it. You've got to swim in it. And that means for many of you, you're going to have to lose or leave the security of where you have established yourself. Let me tell you one of the greatest hindrances. And I'm going to preach on this week. Preach on it. The greatest hindrance is unresolved conflict. The greatest hindrance is unforgiveness. The greatest hindrance is the walls that we have built around ourselves to protect ourselves from being hurt and wounded. And the very walls that we have built are keeping Jesus out from doing his great and marvelous work. And I see all around me people who are bound by the past, bound by the effects of the woundings of the past. And my heart cries out to God. That's always been my desire, to see such a move of the Spirit of God that people will be taken out of the woundedness and out of the bondage of what has been done to them and will be released into the freedom. I know that there is a compassion flowing in the heart of God. I know there is a compassion flowing in the heart of Jesus. The same compassion as he looked on the sheep and he saw them, looked on the people and he said he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. That same compassion is in the midst of his people. And let me just tell you, speak prophetically, there is coming to the body of Christ an outpouring of a supernatural compassion. Please hear me. Because we're not going to see the mighty effects of God until we are touched with the compassion of Jesus. And the only thing that blocks compassion is wounds in our inner man. You see, compassion comes out of your inner man. But what has happened in many of us is there's brokenness and woundedness in the inner man. And so there cannot be the flow of compassion. And as a result, the healing is being impeded. And I'm crying out to God. I read a book by Fuchsia Pickett just before I went on vacation a couple of months ago. And one of the chapters of Fuchsia Pickett's book, and it's the title is The Next Great Move of God. And one of the chapters is on compassion. And all of my heart says yes to that. Before we're going to see the great harvest, the church is going to be visited by a mighty outpouring of supernatural divine compassion. But I know enough about inner woundedness to realize that before we can have that compassion, we're going to need to be healed in the inner man, where we've been wounded, where we've been abused, where we've been hurt, where we have been manipulated, where we have felt the hurt of rejection. And so let me announce this to you. If you don't want to get healed, don't come to the meetings this week. But if you want to get healed of past wounds, you're in the right place. Let me tell you what's just happened in Muleshoe a few weeks ago when we were there. There's a couple in the church, precious couple. We only found out the story afterwards. He was on staff in First Assembly of God Church in Muleshoe. And he came to the meetings in January and got touched by the anointing and has moved on in the Holy Spirit. But he came to the meetings 4 or 5 weeks ago when we were there. And they invited us to come to their home for a meal. He owns a ranch outside Muleshoe that is just gorgeous. He has the original bunkhouse from the XIT ranch on his ranch. The house, the homestead on the place, was one of the original homesteads on the XIT ranch. It was at the bottom corner of the big XIT ranch. But ever since he has been on that farm, it's been cursed with a curse. He has lost money. Nothing works. In the course that he's owned the farm, in the course of time, he and his wife went down to Florida for 2 years. She went to go and do some studies down there. And during the 2 years that they were off the farm flourished. And as soon as they came back on the farm, the curse returned. He said, this year, he said, every farm around has had rain, but I've had not a drop of rain. Well, it does not take a rocket scientist to figure that something's wrong. You start saying, God, something is wrong here. And so Bev started talking about unforgiveness. Well, the wife started interrupting. And she kept saying, if we forgive, this is going to let the person back into our life who caused all the hurt. She's going to take advantage of us again. And da 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 da. And finally Bev got stout with her and said, now just keep quiet and let John tell you. And we had about 10 minutes to teach the whole thing of unforgiveness, which normally takes me 3-4 days to teach all the revelation of the word about unforgiveness. But we got it over. That man the next day tried to call the person who had terribly wronged them, who had used the local newspaper to spread lies about them in order to defeat them in an election. And what was terrible about it was a relative of theirs. And so God, he heard the word to himself. And so the next day he tried to call the person, couldn't get them. And so the following day was Saturday. He got in his truck and he drove down to where they now live in another part of Texas and went and forgave them. When he was driving back from there, it started raining on his ranch. The following week, Tuesday, that person came to visit them on the ranch, the first time they had been on the ranch in many years, and they couldn't even hardly get out of the car because it was raining so hard. They had 2.5 inches of rain on that Tuesday when the person came back. When I was in Clovis 3 weeks ago, well, it's really 2 weeks ago, this past Friday night, that person drove from where they live to come and thank me for ministering into that situation because of the healing that has been brought. I'm telling you people, the enemy wants to keep you in resentment and hurt and keep you from getting hurt, over your hurt, getting healed of that hurt, because he can block the compassion and the love of God flowing in you, and he can block the healing power of the river.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so I went from there to the meeting that night and I said, God, I got to preach on forgiveness. And so that night I preached on forgiveness and there was another couple sitting there. The wife was unable to communicate with her husband because of past woundedness. And that night God did such a marvelous healing in her as she forgave. She and her husband sat up till early in the morning communicating, and she'd never been able to talk about the deep things of her heart. Shared her heart with him. That weekend they took a trip to Tulsa to go to where their children now live to bring forgiveness and release to the children. And their 25-year-old son, who had never felt loved by his mother, was able to sit in his mother's lap and his mother hold her 25-year-old son. And healing has come to the whole family. They drove up to Clovis a couple of weeks ago to tell us what had happened in their family. I'm telling you people, the river is here. God's so longing to heal the wounds in his church. But we're going to have to let go of our defensive position against being wounded because we've been hurt, and we've stuck our feet firmly on the ground and said, I'm not getting into this river because I might make a fool of myself. I might be rejected. I might be hurt. And you've got to discover when you let go and you just go in obedience to the Spirit of God. He wants to do healing. He wants to bring release. He wants to bring you into a place of blessing, of saturation, a large place, a place of abundance. I'm telling you, it's time to let the river do its healing work. The river is here, and it's here to bring healing. Whew. You know what those trees did on the banks of the river? Do you know that they became so fruitful that they brought forth fruit every month? You've had a blockage in fruitfulness in your life? You're saying, God, it's been a long time since I've really borne fruit for the kingdom? The river is here. The river is here to bring healing so that your tree can become fruitful again. Let's stand together. The river is here. 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 There is a river that makes glad the city of our God. The word says, whew, the gladness is coming because not just of the presence of the river, but because of the healing the river is bringing. Listen to people, please don't get offended by just the manifestation. Understand what the manifestation is expressing and is a sign of. The laughter and the joy is just the accompaniment to the work of the Holy Spirit of healing the wounded heart. Because the promise of Isaiah 61 says, He will give you the oil of joy instead of mourning. Don't get offended at the outward manifestation of the joy. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the healing that is going on deep inside the individual or in your own heart. Yield to the river. 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 Father, I don't understand this completely, but in simple faith in you, like one of those people of that countryside, I just want to round up this whole body of people in this building, and I want to bring them to the feet of Jesus and by faith lay them down at your feet, Jesus. I can't heal them, but you can. Your anointing can destroy every yoke and can remove every burden. And by faith in your ability, I just envelop my arms around this whole congregation and draw them all together and lay them down at your feet and say, Jesus, have at it. Jesus, do what you're anointed to do. Heal the brokenhearted. Thank you.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the series, The River is Here, with John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this or other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com, or you may call us toll-free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you, and thank you for listening.